Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Wednesday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports, following a big retirement ceremony for the great, the one and only Brandon Graham here on the show. Johnny Mac, how you doing on this Wednesday morning, brother, Birds 365?
I'm doing well. Fun day at the NobiCare Complex. Also a little bit sad yesterday with Brandon Graham. I'm sure everybody saw it by now. But, you know, by the way, wasn't the, you know, I'm going to scold the listeners here. You know, we've been doing tremendous numbers. Nobody tunes in for Brandon Graham. I'm looking, where is it? What? Any rando you sign for $2 million, you run to the computer, and a guy who's a legend for 15 years, you don't want to hear about? I'm ashamed.
I know. I'm so surprised you saw that. Yeah, our numbers were a little low on the Brandon Graham.
What the hell? I talk about this guy being underrated. I still think there's a perfect example. You know, I don't want to pick on the Temu offseason guys, but I mean, you know, pick out some of those guys. You know, right. Whichever one you prefer. We all know who most fans prefer and who the lower level ones, but yeah, there's so much interest in that. And this guy, nobody's played more games as a Philadelphia Eagle. I guarantee Brandon Graham plays more games as a Philadelphia Eagle than all nine of those guys combined. That's my bold prediction.
Yeah, that's a pretty simple, bold prediction. I'll double up on that prediction with you there. That's a good point by you. So John's referring to all of our segments that we did on all the players we've signed. They get thousands and thousands and thousands of views on all of our platforms. And we go Brandon Graham live yesterday. Not many people checked it out, but that's all right. We keep pushing, Johnny Mac. We keep making content as we always do here on Jacob Sports. I want to welcome and thank everybody for being here this morning. All of our great listeners. We see all you guys. We appreciate all you guys for those listening to the podcast. Boy, you guys have been crushing it over on the podcast. So thank you all for listening over there. Don't forget to leave a review on the podcast. If you listen there, we appreciate you, but obviously most of our conversation is back and forth at the YouTube chat. But again, we appreciate all the podcast listeners. Well, Johnny Mac, what's life like in Eagle Land after Brandon Graham? Man, I think this is one that has, you know, not just play on the field, but you talked about yesterday, you need a Brandon Graham in the workplace, a leader on the football field, you know, a big smile that lights up a whole press room. It's going to be tough to live with life after Brandon Graham. For the Philadelphia Eagles. He is truly one of a kind guy, in my opinion. That's a big loss for this team, not just on the football field, but, you know, as a whole.
Yeah. I mean, even on the field, I think at his age and the way he was playing before he tore his triceps was pretty amazing. And, you know, Vic would talk about it. I'm going to play him. I mean, he's too good not to play, even in his last year, which was pretty special as well. But the off the field, you know, Eagles have been through this before. We said the same thing with Jason Kelce, Fletcher Cox. So I'm sure, you know, talent weighs more than anything. But I will say this, you know, boy, that room is young. Oof. I mean, that room is young. And I'm talking about the whatever you want to call them, defensive and outside linebackers. I call them edge players, you know. That room is Jeremiah Washburn, the people that he mentors and coaches. That is a young group who just lost Super Bowl level experience. You mentioned Brandon Graham, what Nick Sirianni said about his impact on the workplace, but even Josh Sweat, who Brandon, you know, said he kind of handed the baton to him as far as leading the room last year. And now he's gone as well. And now he mentioned the baton goes to Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith. Year three, barely played in year one, played half a season in year two. He is the leader of that room. He is the leader of that room. And when you talk about the impact of Brandon Graham off the field and some of the stuff you're talking about, well, there's no way you can match that. So, you know, how does that look? It's got to look different. You know, on the field, talent, as I said, trumps everything. So Nolan performs. A lot of that will take care of itself. But one of the things and what Nick was talking about, but, you know, through the grind of an NFL season, every day isn't peaches and cream. And to have that guy who shows up every day with that energy and that positivity and lifts everybody up around him, you know, that Brandon wasn't doing that in his third year. And he's naturally effusive and naturally engaging with people. He's a people person. I'm sure everybody recognizes in their own life, there's people persons and there's people that like to keep to themselves and yada, yada, yada. And there's very, amongst all that, there's very few Brandon Grahams who, as you mentioned, lights up rooms and just gets along with everybody. Can't replace that. So you got to go about it a different way. And again, it's secondary because, you know, I'll take good football players over everything. Brandon was a very good football player as well, but you're not going to be able to replace that. So you have to do it a little bit differently.
No doubt about it, John. That's a big void to fill. And you mentioned, you know, the play on the field. He's a tough one, John, because this is where I hate the way we talk about players, where it's all stat driven and it's all.
I hate it.
I know you hate this. I'm sure you hate this with Brandon Graham because, you know, I could make an argument, and I'm not going to go there. I don't think he is. I don't think he'll get in. But if you look at his grades and you look at the consistency and you look at the every down player and you look at the contributions he's had to this team and stats weren't as big as they are now, you could make an argument for him to go to Canton in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I've already made that argument.
The minute you look at those numbers, John, and the stats and, you know, 82 career sacks, including the playoffs, and, you know, he's not going to get in because he doesn't meet the eye test for the, you know, for the people who glance at the stats and the numbers and some of that stuff. But he is truly an unbelievable football player. And he was an unbelievable football player here for a long time, man. 15-year career, start to finish in Philadelphia, the heartbeat of Philly. And you call him Mr. Philadelphia himself, which I love, or Mr. Eagle himself. But you can make that argument, John, but this is one of those things, man.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he's a Hall of Fame player. I've said that pretty consistently. And I'll be arguing. I know a bunch of those guys. Damo here locally, a good friend of mine, you know, but so many of the other voters I know. And I've been making that argument for years, saying put it in their ears. Look deeper. You know, I said talk to people in the league because – now, Damo knows. You don't have to worry about the people locally, but you have to worry about the people nationally who are going to resort to numbers and all pros and Pro Bowl selections and all decade teams. And they should. And I'm not dismissing that, but this is a player that is unique. Just how well-regarded he was. And even when I joke about the YouTube views, I mean, I don't get it, man. You know, people should be genuflecting in front of this guy if they're Eagles fans. You mentioned those numbers. I'm going to go with that. I've done this like three times on the show.
Yeah, I want to do it again, though. It's a good day to do it.
I'm going
to
do it again. 2012, when he took off, number 2 of 92. 2013, 19 of 88, top 20. 2014, number 6 of 99. 2015, number 10 of 108. 2016, number two of 111. 2017, the Super Bowl season, when he made the biggest play in modern Eagles history, 7 of 104. 2019, down year, 15 of 104. I joke. 2020, 10 of 110. 2021's when he tore his Achilles. Comes back 2022, when they made the Super Bowl, number 5 of 119. 2023, number 15 of 112. And last season, 15, his 15th year, number 19 of 119, still a top 20 edge defender in this league. That is, I was just talking about not cursing. That is fucking amazing.
It is. It's insane. What was his low there? 19 was his worst ever?
19. He did it twice. He did it in 2013, the year after he took off, and he did it in his final season. He was still a top 20 player.
Still a top 20 player. I mean, that's just unbelievable from Brandon Graham. And, you know, obviously everything else he brings to the city, to the team as well, is unbelievable. And the void is going to be big. But BJ, we love you. And I think even objective reporters like yourself, John, can say that BG is a player you like. You talk about how you're not a fan of players, you're not a fan of teams, but you like people. And Brandon Graham is an easy guy to root for.
Oh yeah, I'm not a fan of players any longer, like I was when I was a kid. But I'm a fan of people.
Yep.
And yeah, I got to meet his mother yesterday, and that was the best part of my day, because I said, you know, I've been doing this for well over 20 years. And I told her, this is my favorite person at cover ever, ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
I'm sure that made her feel great.
Yeah. I mean, she's heard it many times. She said, so it ain't just me. And I think you've seen it from some of the Eagles. Everybody loves them. You know, how could you not? You know, occasionally, if you can't take some of the trash talk, you know, that might get to some people, because he's going to trash talk you. You know, but that's part of it. he's funny. He's engaging. But most of all, he's accountable. So as a reporter, you respect that. You know, even when he said this stuff he said this year, when he got sort of created that Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown stuff, right, for that little blip when he joked about, you know, he's not going to miss that part of it when he says something that doesn't come out the right way or whatever.
Yeah, right.
He's not going to miss that part of it. And people take the baton whatever way they want to take about it. But he still got up and talked about it when he talked, you know, he still held himself accountable. Said it wasn't his place, yada, yada. Everybody makes mistakes, but as long as you hold yourself accountable, I got a lot of respect for you.
No doubt about it. BJ, well done, man. A career, an unbelievable career, a job well done, and you earn every accolade you've had, you've earned, and you will continue to earn. So BJ, thank you, brother. And congratulations on your retirement. Johnny Mac, as we close the page on Brandon Graham, you mentioned the age of the defensive line room, or really the entire team, but the whole defensive line. Let's just look at this defensive line for a second, all right? Jalen Carter is 24 years old. Jordan Davis is 25 years old. Nolan Smith is 24. Jalix Hunt is 24. Moro Ajomo is 24. Azeez Ojulari is 25. Josh Uche is coming in at 27. The grandpa of the bunch. Thomas Booker at 25, Patrick Johnson is 26, and Byron Young is 24. Now, maybe not all these guys will be on the roster, but that is some youth, Johnny Mac, on the defensive line. When you look at that list and you hear those, hear how old these guys are, you know, who is going to be the leader of that unit? Is it Jalen Carter? Is it? I think it's going to be Nolan Smith, just because of the nature of the way he is, but that's a young room, Johnny Mac. You got to, you know, I don't know if that's a – I think it's a good thing, but you could argue there's some negatives with a room that young.
Well, first of all, they're two different rooms. So, you know, interior defensive linemen are Clint Hurt's room. They're separated. The edge rushers are – so they're two different rooms. Like Jordan Davis is the most natural leader of the entire group. So he's the leader. He's the leader.
Interesting.
But you know, you with the interior guys, he's the obvious leader. Now, and he's a natural, as I said, people gravitate towards him, much younger, but some similarities.
He's a people type of dude, right? He's
not that big. Yeah, but not as abusive as Brandon, but few are. But yeah, he's a natural sort of people gravitate towards him. So not as big as an issue, I would say, with the interior guys, other than, you know, the Eagles have a decision in May. Are they going to pick up the fifth-year option? Are they going to sign him long-term? What is that contract going to look like? Other than that, but he's already been the leader, really. He's, you know, they already had a young room inside once Fletcher left, and Jordan kind of taken over that well. So that's what he want to replicate. But there's no Jordan Davis on that group. Now, I haven't met Azeez Ojulari. Going to meet him via Zoom later this morning, hopefully, tentatively. And I got to leave the show a little bit early because of that. But, you know, and part of it is you got to be meaningful from a playing perspective. You know, you can't be the fifth edge rusher and be the leader. It just doesn't work that way. So it's got to come down to Nolan Smith. And Brandon mentioned it. He's the guy.
All right.
There's no other option. And it's going to look different. Now, if they bring in somebody, they pull off a miracle and bring in Trey Hendrickson, or, you know, obviously he'll take over. But if they swing a deal for a veteran, it might look different. But right now, yeah, he's the guy in that room. And Brandon even mentioned it. Now it's going to have to be Nolan. And different type of personality, different type of, you know, so we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how it works.
Yeah, interesting. It will be interesting to see. How about the on the field, John? I mean, I know Brandon Graham was toward the end of his career, was still a top 20 edge last year when he was on the field, but, you know, how about making up for the loss of them, not just that from a leadership perspective, but on the field is going to be tough to do. We've obviously talked about this edge rushing room all offseason so far. I mean, I think Uche is going to be okay, and we'll see about him. Azeez, these are a bunch of dart throws that we've talked about here, but that's going to be a tough guy to replace. And you mentioned a couple of those young guys. It's going to be a big role for them moving forward. John, I really think big role for all these young guys across the whole team. Lane Johnson's the only guy left. I saw somebody, if I would love to be able to find it, somebody put out a tweet yesterday of all the 30-year-old plus guys on the Eagles. There's like four of them. Charles
Hewitt. Yes, very young team, very young team. As opposed to Washington, which brought in a bunch of 100-year-old guys. Yeah. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds, because this team is – really young. I mean, really, really young. I didn't see that, but I'm trying.
Well, here's the name. Yeah, it was Jimmy Kemsky. Shout out to Jimmy Kemsky from Philly Voice. Right tackle, Lane Johnson, 34 years old. Long snapper, Charlie Hewlett.
Who just got here, by the way. Charlie just got here.
Dallas Goedert, 30. Could be on his way out. We'll see. And Jake Elliott, 30. That's it. It's the only four guys above 30. Yeah.
That is really young. Glad you brought that up, because Lane's going to speak today as well after his extension. I might bring that up to him. That might be too young, to be honest.
That's what I'm saying. Is it? I mean, I do think there's a balancing act here.
Yeah. Where, you know. I think there's got to be a better balance. And as I said, you look at Charlie, long snappers a little bit different. They can play forever and all that kind of stuff. But
right. He
just got here. Now, by all, I mean, he was like a legend in Cleveland. So he's like a Doran boss here. Like, you know, Rick Lovato was here. So he'll fit in. And I already have spoken to him. He's a natural leader. How much can your long snapper do other than resonate with the community? And
he's not going to be a leader on the team.
Sometimes those guys resonate with you. He did in Cleveland. Dornbos did here, like I brought up. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, but you can't. There's only so much you can do. Same thing with Jake as a kicker. It's only so much you can do. And Dallas, I'm still leaning towards, on that 50-50 scale, I'm still leaning towards the negative about him being back. Yeah, this is a ridiculously young team at this point. Well, not done, but, you know, at this stage,
yeah,
really, you're going to draft people, and they're going to be young by definition. Yeah. And then maybe you make a trade down the road or sign a post-June 1st guy. But that is really young.
It is. I mean, now the one thing is, this is a young group that has pedigree. This is a young group that's seen a lot. I mean, you know, not every young guy can say they've been to a national championship and a Super Bowl and won them both before they turn 25. I mean, that's rarefied air, but that doesn't mean that they're going to know how to factor. But I do think having that championship pedigree will give the guys, you know, a little bit of a better chance.
Well, yeah, and there's, like, you know,
Jalen's like such a different young guy, isn't he? He's so different.
Yeah, he's the oldest. What is he now? 26. He's the most mature. I think Jeffrey said 25-year-old now, 26, whatever. You know, Zach Bond's 28. What a lot of, you know, N'Kobe Dean's a natural leader. So I mentioned Jordan Davis, he's a natural leader. So a lot of it, but you know, the NFL makes a big deal out of players being 30, you know, because they don't want to pay them basically.
Right.
So you can't say it's not a thing when you make it a thing. So, you know, somebody like Zach Bond, who's 28, I guess, you know, he proved himself, I would say. So that demarcation line, what does it really mean other than a financial perspective? Like I would say those certain guys, N'Kobe, Zach, Jordan Davis on defense, they're natural leaders. And even you can see it developing with somebody like Cooper, but he's so young, it's hard to put him Reed, a natural leader, Reed Blankenship. So, yeah, now that I think about it, maybe it's not that big of a deal. It's just a number.
Yeah.
But it is a very, very young team.
It is. It's a young team, no doubt about it. And then you go over. Somebody might want to tell Adam Peters in Washington that it's a young man's game. I'm looking at Jimmy. Shout out to Jimmy Kemsky again. He's getting some love on the show this morning. But he put out this. Just in free agency alone, the Commanders signed, traded for, or re-signed 10 players over 30 years of age, plus an additional 5 players who will turn 30 between now and the end of the 2025 season. Now, the reason I bring that up is because the war of attrition is something we talk about all the time, John. The war of attrition favors the youth, man, favors the young.
It does.
You know, you're talking about that. That's a command. That's an old team in Washington, boy. 10 plus people just in free agency that are over 30.
Yeah, there's a give and take. Like I said, you know, look at Brandon, the way he was playing. But to your point with attrition, you know, he got hurt. You know, look at the way Slay played. You know, and I constantly – Slay and Gilmore. Gilmore hasn't even signed anywhere yet. Whenever he decides to sign, I'm going to predict that they're the best cornerbacks on their particular teams. I don't even know who Pittsburgh has. I haven't looked at it. I'm going to project Slay's the best cornerback on the team.
Joey Porter, I think they got. Who else do they have over there?
And Joey Porter's got a ton of talent.
Yeah, it does. They got Minka Fitzpatrick right on there, but he's a safety.
He's
so.
A safety.
Yeah.
I'm going to project Slay's going to be their best corner. Now, some at some point, it's got to turn negative, but it's been that way. Post-30 now. At 30, he was the best corner. 31, 32, 33. 34. Why not 34? Yeah, same thing with Gilmore. And he's gone from team to team. Best corner, best corner, best corner. Those guys know how to fucking play.
I know they do.
And that's half the battle. Even at a, and that might be the most taxing position athletically in the NFL. cornerback. But those savvy guys, man. You know, I said, to me, I looked at it from the standpoint of a usual way an NFL team builds a roster, usual way they think. You know, and I said, well, why, if you're not a legitimate Super Bowl contender and you think maybe a top-tier veteran corner could put you over the top, why would you want Darius Slay? Why would you want Stephon Gilmore? I'd prefer to build with, you're not ready to win now,
right?
Build with younger guys and hopefully you have something down the road. So I agree with that part of it, and I don't know why Pittsburgh signed him, because I don't consider them. They don't even have a quarterback.
Yeah, they don't, and they're not in a good spot.
So, I mean, I don't get it from that standpoint, but he can still play. I know that. Played well last year. And I think a lot of people don't understand, and they're going to learn this year, the different responsibilities of being the left corner and the right corner. Because they're different, and one guy's got more responsibility, and that was Slay. So
you don't think they'll move Quinion over to where Slay was, do you, and put Keeley on the right side?
I would think so. I would think so.
Okay.
You know, I don't see why they wouldn't.
Well, I don't know. You know how some people, I mean, I know this is popular with offensive linemen. They can play on the right or the left, and they can't play on the other. I don't know if that's the same thing for corners. I feel like they're more athletic in terms of, you know, being able to have mobility and stuff on either side of them because of the way they have to run routes and obviously chase receivers and stuff. But I don't know. I mean, would that be a reason to not put Quinion on the other side? Might not be as good on the other side?
Well, I mean, if it becomes a mental block, then you might have to revisit, but you saw it last year. They would get him reps on the other side, thinking about the future. I would think they're going to try it because it's going to, A, he's your best corner, and B, it makes it easier on Ringo. You don't want Ringo out there.
Yeah, right.
So I would be stunned if they don't start with Quinion on the left side and Ringo on the right side.
Yeah, we'll see what they end up doing there. John, speaking of the 30-plus thing that we were just talking about with the age, you know, I was wondering, I'm sure modern medicine and modern, you know, the advancements that we've had and the technology and all the stuff like that, that's got to give a little bit of a chance for the older guys to be better late as we advance as a society, you know? I mean, aren't they all, isn't that the new thing now, modern medicine and all sorts of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you know. Yeah, I love Landon's description of surgeries. Like, that's why they made doctors to fix things. You know, some of those guys have that mentality. 15 surgeries, and they're like, oh, man, I've had 6 surgeries. I get so much anxiety. And it hasn't been for a while, thankfully, but. And some of these guys just treat it like, you know, going to the doctor for a flu shot or something.
What'd you have? Knee surgeries?
Yeah.
My dad had double knee replacements, both at the same time.
Yeah, and I'm not getting a knee replacement because my wife got one of those. And I've seen it up. I don't want any part of that. Yeah. Any part of that. I'll take the pain. But, yeah, I don't want to. I always tell my doctor, I don't want any part of that. Don't even bring it up. So anyway, but I digress. Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously there's improvement. There's also improvement in just all the things that Chip Kelly talked about way back in the day, and nutrition and sports science and right. And the way they rehab injuries. So it's all gotten better over the years. And yeah, it's an advantage for everybody, but it's an advantage for the younger players too. So they still have the youth is the biggest advantage, as you mentioned. It just is. And it is a young man's game.